Today is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. The Mass texts for today are from the 5th Sunday after Epiphany. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be no benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. There are many beautiful feasts this week. On Tuesday is a feast of the four Holy Crown Martyrs. There are four blood brothers who were martyred together in the 3rd century. On Wednesday, the 9th, is a feast of the dedication of the Archbasilica of Our Savior in Rome. On Thursday is the feast of St. Andrew Avellino, that's the 10th. On Friday, the 11th, is the feast of St. Martin of Tours. On Saturday is the feast of St. Martin the First, one of our heroes, if you recall. On Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 12th, there will be catechism classes held after the 8:30 Mass. Please go to the classroom after Mass today to pick up your dishes and containers from the cabinet. So no benediction this evening. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against any other. Even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace, indeed, you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou have us go and gather them up? No, he said, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will say to the reapers, gather up the weeds first and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. Thus far, the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We remind you of the need that we all have for praying for the dead, especially during this month of November, which is dedicated to the souls of the faithful departed. And so also do not forget to have masses offered for them. Very ancient practice. One of the first practices that we know of is the placing of the names of the dead on the altar for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But also, the having masses offered goes back to the early part of the church. Early centuries. It was a little different in those days, as you may recall, because people would come to the Mass and they would give something to the priest, some food or something like that, so that the priest could have something to eat that day, and then the priest would remember those people or the intentions that they wanted him to remember at the Mass. And in time that became that they would give the priest a stipend for the Mass, and then he would remember their intention in the Mass. Instead of bringing him food, he would give him a stipend. So this goes back to the early church. And that's good for all of us. You remember that we are not going to receive help in purgatory if we have not helped them in purgatory during our life. Now, in this Mass, we have references to our getting along with one another. And so we are not expected to do for each other as much as God does for us. Namely, that we are not required to like each other. But as you have heard our Father Superior say many times, that God actually likes us. He loves us, and he, in addition to that, he likes us. So that is not required of us. We don't have to like each other, but we do have to love each other. That's absolutely required. You must pray for one another, and as you read today, you must be kind to one another. And with that in mind, we want to remind you of the obligation that we have not to speak ill of others, even those that we don't like, maybe especially them. It is not permitted, it is a sin to speak ill of others. And you know that we are not talking about telling lies about other people. That is obvious, it's a sin to lie. And it's especially sinful to lie about someone else and to say what is a fault of theirs, which is not known to other people. We're not talking about lying. We're talking about telling the truth, or at least what we think is the truth about someone, and it is detrimental to their reputation. We may not be guilty of the sin of detraction. If everyone knows about someone else's faults, then we may speak of those faults to those people that are aware of it. If everyone here knows that someone is guilty of something, then you may speak about it. You may not speak about it to someone who's not aware of it, outside this community. That's also detraction. Remember that it can be a mortal sin, depending upon the gravity of the ruining of someone's reputation. It makes no difference to whom you speak ill of others. You are still guilty of the sin. You may not speak of it to your friends. You may not speak of it to your children or your spouse. It's still a sin. Now, we are well aware, as we know you are, that you can speak to someone about someone else if you have need of consolation. So if someone says something about you or is guilty of some terrible offense against you, you may speak, let us say, to your spouse, so-and-so did this to me. We know, of course, that that is often used as an excuse for defamation. Speak to your friends and your family about what others have done. That's an excuse. Most of the time, we are simply guilty of defamation of character. We don't need consolation. And so, that is a sin. You may not repeat what you have heard about others. It's equally sinful. It does not take away from the sin at all, just because someone has spoken to you about it. And remember that if you listen to someone else who is guilty of this sin and speaking to you about others' faults, you are guilty of the sin also for listening to them. If you know someone is talking about someone else's faults, change the subject. It's your obligation. You may not question someone's motives for doing something. Wasn't that beautiful what he did, but what was it? What was his reason for doing it? That's what we don't know. That's a sin, to question someone's motives. We may not suspect someone of sin or of any fault without good reason. It's a sin to suspect others. If we believe evil of someone without just cause, that's also sinful. And this is the reason that it is sinful to judge someone's soul because they are not receiving Holy Communion. We may not judge what others have done. Why is so-and-so not receiving communion? What has he or she done? They may not have done anything, but you are guilty of a sin now for suspecting without just cause or believing that they are guilty of sin. Now you are guilty. And you certainly may not speak if you suspect someone of something. You may not speak of your suspicions. Scripture says the fool's has his thoughts in his mouth. Fool's thoughts are in his mouth. The wise man's words are in his heart. Saint Bernard says that when the person is guilty of gossip, his tongue is like that of a serpent. But the difference is that when he bites, he has bitten three people with one bite. he has bitten the person about whom he is speaking, the person to whom he spoke it, because that person is guilty of sin now for listening to him, and he has bitten himself. Three victims, but the one that comes out the best is the person about whom he has spoken, because he hasn't been guilty of a sin. The other two have. And remember that it is depending upon the gravity of the gossip, it's the worst sin that you can commit against someone. Certainly worse than stealing, because you've destroyed their reputation, at least with one person. But if it is a grave matter, many people would prefer that you kill them rather than to ruin their reputation. So it is worse than murder. Someone, once upon a time, spoke to a relative of mine and said something about me, ruined my reputation by saying something that this person thought was true. In fact, it was not. So we called the person and we said, "Why did you do this?" And this person, ignorant of his catechism, said, because we said to this person, "That is a sin." And they said, "No, we said the truth. We said the truth about you." That's how ignorant this person was. In many ways, it's worse to tell the truth about someone and ruin his reputation than it is to tell a lie. Because if you tell a lie and ruin someone's reputation, you can correct it. You can tell the whole world, "I lied when I stabbed this person in the back." And it's not true. But you can't do that if you tell the truth about them and ruin their reputation. So now let's see what's in store for this person who defames. Since it's part of this Mass today, what's in store for this person who is unrepentant? And remember, if you defame someone to your children, which we know is a common practice, need some consolation, I'm going to defame someone to my children. Well, now you have instructed your children in this great sin. You've given them a wonderful example in your defamation, the sin of defamation that you've committed, and you've made them guilty, your own children. So what's in store for this person? What does he have to look forward to, or she? We hear in today's Mass about these people being bundled up for burning in the next life, don't we? Haven't we? Do not ever doubt the eternal nature, or we should say the everlasting nature, of the fires of hell. There was very few things, if anything, that our Lord and Savior spoke about that he was more clear on than the everlasting nature of the fire of hell. This fire, of course, is the physical punishment that we will experience in hell. It's not the greatest of all pain of hell, nor is it the first. The first and the greatest of all the pains of hell is the loss of God, as you know. This is undoubtedly what our Lord is speaking about when he refers to their worm that does not die. And it begins at the words of Christ. Remember that? Right at that very moment. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fires which were prepared for the devil and his angels. That's all we will say about that. There's so many things we could speak about, but we wanted to tell you because we thought you would profit from it. We want to tell you about a saint whose feast is this week. As a matter of fact, the saint is probably not well known to you. Maybe you have never even heard of him. His feast is on Saturday. It's not on the universal calendar. But his feast is on Saturday, in addition to the feast of Saint Martin, our great hero, Saint Martin the First. This is the one we're speaking about now, is Saint Nilus. He lived in the 4th and 5th centuries. And he lived in great dignity and great luxury in Constantinople. He was the governor. The governor of Constantinople. At the same time that Saint John Chrysostom, the patron saint of preachers, to whom we pray before we say anything to you, in addition to many other saints. Saint John Chrysostom, the patron saint of preachers. Saint John was his spiritual director, this governor. This man was married and he had 2 sons. And he convinced his wife to let him go. Apparently it took a great deal of convincing. And so she turned him loose. And he went into the desert of Saudi Arabia. And he took his youngest son with him, who went willingly. Left the older son with his wife. And even though very few people ever saw him after that, because he basically disappeared for good into the desert, as you know many other people did during this time, became an anchorite, he and his son. But the reason we mention him is not only the example he gave to all of us of detesting the world and all its values, because he abandoned everything, his wonderful life of ruling. Ruling is a very important man. He gave it all up. But also because, even though very few people saw him after that, he was a well-educated man, and he had been taught the faith and given his spiritual life from a great saint. And by the way, Saint Nilus is called Father of the Church, one of the fathers, because he was a great teacher from the desert, great teacher of the early church. So this man was well taught. And he wrote many works, wrote many letters to people who would come to him or write to him. How he received these letters in the desert, we do not know. Or how he mailed his letters back to these people, we don't know that either. But we have actually books of his letters. And he says some beautiful things which we thought you would profit from. His son was named Theodulus. So he highly recommends to all of us voluntary poverty, obedience, concord, try to get along, humility. He says this, beg of God the gift of prayer. Beg for it. So this is a gift. And this is the most important thing that he tells us all. Beg for the pure and ardent desires that God promises he will always answer. Beg for those desires. He says, beg for interior prayer. He recommends a lot of begging for us. And for all of you, people of the world, people in the world, recommends these things. Highly recommends temperance, humility, prayer, contempt of the world. He gave you all that example, didn't he? Continual meditation on death. This is our favorite. The obligation you have of giving large alms. That's what he says to you. And this is the last thing we'll say to you. He, and we heard this from no one else except St. Nilus. He tells us that St. John Chrysostom, his spiritual director, when St. John Chrysostom saw this, he would see this during his Mass or during other priests' Masses. He would see angels accompanying the priest who's distributing communion to the people, right next to the priest. So these were the things that he tells us from the desert, St. Nilus. And we thought it was good for you to hear. And so we repeat his words to all of you, to all of us. Beg for the gift of prayer. So pray that you will pray well. And especially pray for pure and ardent desires, the ones that God promises to answer. May God bless you.